Because Jesus did whatever it took to save us, we'll never stop celebrating that he came.
Yes, indeed, we are a people of great joy because the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come. He has come, he has dwelt among us, and he will come again. And so we are thankful, and we are joyful, and we have joy in our hearts and in our spirit. We're glad that you can join us today for the last podcast of 2020. This has been a very challenging year, to say the least. And a very interesting year. But I also know, in talking with many persons, that this is a year in which they have grown closer to God and felt his presence on a more daily basis. You see, very often we have situations and things that tend to have the potential to push us away. But those are the times when we want to lean in and draw closer to God and to seek spiritual discernment. For it is that closeness that allows us to finish 2020 well. And not to say we just want to get rid of it and get it over, but to finish the year well, because we finish it with Christ. And we will begin the next year with Christ. You see, we don't want to come to the finish line huffing and puffing, distraught and all over the place. It's like a well-trained runner who, after all others are kind of giving out, you get that extra burst of speed and energy as God leads us to finish the things we have begun that are in His will. So today we're going to focus on ending the year well by honoring God. Honoring God in all that we do. We're going to focus on Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, which Christians believe to be a messianic passage. One of the passages which shows us that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. We'll also take a look at a change of course and direction in Matthew as we look at how the baby Jesus is on a journey of refuge and protection and asylum to Egypt. And so thank you for joining us this morning for our podcast. And as you reflect upon the year, may you understand and receive and know that you have that joy in your heart as well, and that it makes all the difference in how we live each day. We always like to celebrate birthdays, and we got a bunch of birthdays coming up this week. In fact, two sets of twins with birthdays this week. So this is like a birth one and get one free kind of situation. And so on Tuesday, the 29th, Evelyn and Michael Bennington will celebrate a birthday. And also on this same day, I know that William Small's family will be very attuned to his life and what he has meant, as he would have celebrated a birthday on the 29th as well. And so we reach out to his family, all the members, knowing that this will be a very special time for them as well. On Saturday, we have three birthdays. Casey Bradley will have a birthday and on the 2nd of January. And then Grace and Alan, our second set of twins, will also have a birthday. And so that's one of the things about Christmas. That celebration just keeps on going. And so we're thankful for all of these birthdays. And then also on Tuesday the 29th, not only do Evelyn and Michael have a birthday, but Grace and Patrick will celebrate their anniversary. So this is a very exciting week for many persons. And so we wish them all happy birthday and also happy anniversary as we continue to celebrate momentous times in our lives. Also, please be remembering that mindful of a lot of families that have experienced the death of a loved one this year and in the last 2 months of the year. And so we continue to remember the Thomas family and the Mitchell family, Carol and the loss of her sister, the Farrell family, the Rigsby family, and the Godwin family. Life-changing events that have taken place in the passing of these loved ones. I'm happy to be able to say that Shirley Luter has come home, and so it is nice to be able to get back to those familiar surroundings. Also, Gwen Mumford is at home and is continuing to recover, and so we lift her up. We want to remember her as well. Continue to remember Jimmy Council and Ronnie Venable. Peggy Behringer is doing well, and so continue to remember her. Aubrey Vickers will be having some cataract surgery soon, and so hopefully that can help him with some of the issues that he has been facing. Continue to remember Aubrey and Juanita both. Continue to remember Ray Insko and Emily Leeds as well. There are many others on our prayer list that you want to continue to remember at this particular time of the year. So may we go to the Lord in prayer as we lift up these persons that have been mentioned today. Dear Lord, we thank you for your steadfast love. You created us, we are your children, and you know us by name. Dear Lord, we acknowledge that this has been a very interesting year, but we ask for your strength to persevere, to finish well, and to look forward with joy into 2021. For each person that has been mentioned today, dear Lord, we lift them up and place them on your throne of grace. We ask for healing of mind, body, and spirit. May your presence be felt in each person's life and those that are assisting and helping each day. Dear Lord, we ask you for direction and for discernment as we continue to face the challenges of everyday life. And dear Lord, we ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Berea Baptist Church. May this be a year in which we finish well and embrace the sharing of the good news as we continue to share the gospel to a world that needs light in the midst of darkness. Dear Lord, help us to be most attentive to ministry opportunities that come our way. And may your blessings be upon us. We are laborers who are ready to go into the fields of harvest with the good news. We ask your blessing upon each and everything that we do to spread the good news and continue the kingdom of God, which you came here to start. Help us to be faithful to our mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning, children, I'm going to come down here and sit here in this chair. We can kind of sit down here, and I can picture you gathering around here this morning. As if you were here, I know that you would be sitting here and you would be excited and smiling, and there would be many beautiful, shining, twinkling eyes because I know y'all had a great Christmas and y'all have had a really, really good time. But I also know you like to be at church. And I've heard you talk about it, your parents talk about it, and just hang on, before long, we'll be back. But again, you can kind of see familiar surroundings. And as I'm speaking with you this morning, I'm kind of picturing you in my mind's eye, sitting here in front of us, and the congregation here looking on as well. You know, as you're smiling, they're also smiling too, because they're happy to see you. And they also want to hear what we're going to be talking about as well. So this kind of helps us all to really enjoy being in church, because we want to enjoy being in church. Now, I want to remind you something. This week is a very, very important week. We're ending 1 year and beginning another year. And a way to kind of help you think about that is this. You know, some things change. You might not like riding in the car seat every time you have to get into the car. I got some good news for you. One of these days, you will be old enough and tall enough that you won't have to ride in it anymore. So there is a beginning of when you ride in it, and there's an ending to it. Some of you may have a tricycle or something like that. Well, you won't always have to use the three wheels. You can eventually get up to bicycle or maybe even roller skates. And some of you may already be trying to do some of that. That won't last forever. When you've had a birthday, let's say you were 2 or you were 3. When you have the birthday, you're no longer 2 or 3. You're what? That's right, 3 or 4. A year older. An ending of 1 year, a beginning of another year. It used to be that all the food you ever received was milk. But then you start, as you get a little older, getting solid food. And you start trying different types of food. So there are beginnings and endings. But I want to remind you of an important Bible verse that I want to read to you. And this is one that your parents and those that are caring for you can share with you. And it's from the letter to the Hebrews. And it's chapter 13, verse 8. And it reminds us, while one year may end and another year may begin, while we may experience a lot of changes in our life as we grow older, there are some things that do really remain the same. And so here is the verse. And this is one that I think you can remember. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus loves you. He loved you when? Yesterday. He loves you now, today, and He will love you forever. And so put together something that maybe can help us remember this. So I've got a picture here, and you'll see some numbers at the top. 2020. That's the year 2020. Now, by the end of this week, on Friday, it will be January 1st, and it'll be the year 2021. So see, 2021. So we're going to go from 2020 to 2021. But notice what's in the middle. What do you see in the middle of those 2 years? It's the cross. And the cross reminds us of what? Jesus. Jesus loves you, and His love is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So happy ending of 2020 and happy beginning of 2021. And hopefully at some point in 2021, you will be sitting out here and we will be doing the children's story right here at Berea Baptist Church. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Lamb is worthy. He was sacrificed on the cross to atone for our sins. And He rose from the dead to proclaim victory over death. And He is indeed worthy. And we are here today to celebrate Him. And when you hear music like this, I pray that your home or wherever you're listening to this podcast, that it's transformed into a sanctuary, into a sacred place where you can celebrate. And it's okay to lift your hands up high in praise and honor to your God in your home, wherever you are. Now, if you're driving, please don't take your hand off the wheel and do not lift your hands up high because you may end up in the ditch. But otherwise, please celebrate. Give praise to our Lord and to our God and to the Holy Spirit. Now, unless Jesus Christ returns by 11:59, on Thursday evening, the year of the advent of COVID-19 will end. And we will move into 2020. But we do have to admit that 2021, I was going to stay put there and kind of stay stuck in the year 2020 for a while. Maybe that's not by accident. Maybe some of us feel like we're stuck in 2020. But we will, barring the second coming, move into 2021. But you know, there are some things that have been changed. And we have experienced some new normals. We have experienced some paradigm shifts that will probably continue to be with us. So think about some of these things. Eating out has a new meaning now. Eating out, for the most part, means going through a drive-through window and picking up food. And if a business or has not adapted to drive-through, they're doing everything they can to adapt to that. So we're now in a drive-through environment. Malls are encouraging all types of online orders and pickups, because the online vendors, we're shopping online for the most part, but persons are willing to come by and pick up something curbside. So here again, changes that we are experiencing. Masks and social distancing have become common expectations, and in some cases and in some areas, legally mandated to varying different degrees. Working has become remote in many instances. And we're thankful for those of us that can work remote. And for those that have not been able to, we continue to pray that their financial needs can be met. We pray for innovations that can enable persons to continue with their livelihoods. And we pray for opportunities in case careers need to be shifted. For we know going forward, what will be the purpose of office buildings? How will they be utilized? Will we travel when we can meet remotely? So changes in the way we do everyday activities. The good and the bad and the ugly, in many respects, describes online education. Education is important. How it's delivered is critical. Technology is good, but technology doesn't always work. And persons also may be technologically savvy, but learning online is a different situation. How do we learn? How do we learn when it requires a lot of self-motivation? Curfews have been enacted in various locations for various different reasons. We are people that like to move about, and we don't like restrictions. I mean, think about it. How many of you enjoyed time out when you were placed in time out? Those are things that we don't like. But yet we experience them. Face-to-face attendance in churches, while we still are able to meet, for some churches the attendance has been off in face-to-face. But guess what's happened? There's been the explosion of church encounters remotely, through podcast and through streaming. And so while face-to-face may not always be available, the word continues to be spread. So that is good news. So we live in a world that's experiencing changes. And it got me to thinking about some things. You know, if you are the type of person, you and I are the type of person that is inflexible on some things, this year has been hard. And going into the next year will be hard. Lord, help us to understand where you're leading us. And help us to mold our wills to your will. And when we need to bend, help us to know how to bend as you would have us bend. Many of us thrive on human interaction, face-to-face interaction. If you're a real strong people person, this has been a hard year because you haven't always been able to be close to those that you want to be. And so you try remote and you try FaceTime and things like that, and that's great. But it's still not the same as being able to be in someone's presence. So you see, our relationship to God matters. It impacts how we finish this year and how we begin the next year. And how do we honor God? You see, as we end 2020 and move into 2021, may we place our faith and trust in God's provisions. His love for us is unconditional and it's unending. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's why we can sing joy to the world. That's why we can sing Worthy is the Lamb. We have the Holy Spirit, which can counsel us and guide us daily. And we can derive strength through prayer and the power of prayer and from daily study of the Scriptures. This will help us navigate these paradigm shifts. This will enable us to end well and move forward with conviction. So, let's take a look at two passages of Scripture. One from the Old Testament, prophet Hosea. The other from the gospel writer, Matthew. So this gets us to another important point. In all that we do and consider doing, let us choose to honor God and follow His guidance. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Hosea chapter 11, and we'll take a look at verses 1 through 7. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I call my son. Here the prophet of Hosea is talking about God. And the child is the nation of Israel. A nation that was delivered from captivity and bondage in Egypt. I called my son out of Egypt. Israel called to the Egyptians, even as Israel was leaving them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. So even though God was leading the people out of Egypt and out of their captivity, for some reason they did not remain faithful to God. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the hand, but they never knew that I healed them. I led them with human cords, with ropes of love. To them I was like one who eases the yoke from their jaws. I bent down to give them food. Israel will not return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria will be his king. Now we do know in 722 BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. A sword will whirl through their cities. It will destroy and devour the bars and the gates. Because of their schemes, my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call on him on high, he will not exalt them at all. God led his people out of captivity, but they chose not to continue to honor him. And so this is a story of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. It is a story of being led out of captivity and then also experiencing God's judgment. But there is restoration. There is restoration. And Matthew, in looking at this passage, saw it a little differently. For when early Christians saw this leading out of Egypt, this exodus from Egypt, it reminded them of a second exodus. An exodus in which Jesus, the second Moses, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, who came for Jews and Gentiles alike, became a new chosen people. But for this to happen, persons had to be faithful to God's will and to be willing to follow God's direction. And so that makes me think about something. When God is speaking to us, and God does speak, are we listening? Do we dismiss it? Are we willing to trust God enough to follow and to accept what His will is for us. Think of it this way. Sometimes to end one year or period in our life and move to the next assignment, we have to change locations or directions. And why is that hard for us? It's real simple. We love change, don't we? We just love change. That sweet spot doesn't mean one thing, does it? Now, of course, you know how important that sweet spot is to us. But sometimes God is asking us to do something that we don't understand for a reason, which we will understand later. And so it's within that context that I'd like to share with you the next part of the Advent story. You see, after the birth of Jesus, there's a journey that is taken. So join me in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." Now think about this for a second. If you'd gotten a message like that, what would be going through your mind right now? Would you be kind of half dazed? Lord, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? Are you speaking to me? But notice what Joseph does. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, which wasn't necessarily the safest time, although you can make really good time in the night. It's not always the safest time. And escaped to Egypt. When God is speaking to us, do we get up? Do we listen? Do we act? Or do we perhaps, what we might say, spiritually procrastinate and let it simmer and mull over it for a while? But Scripture tells us that Joseph got up and obeyed. And he stayed there, verse 15. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now the prophet here is Isaiah 11:1. Through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now again, Christians see this passage as not just talking about the nation of Israel, but talking about the deliverance of the Messiah, or the coming out of the Messiah from Egypt. And so let's look at this passage in a little bit more detail. Very quickly, the hope and the joy of the Magi and that visit are replaced with an atmosphere and environment characterized by fear and danger. Well, why? Herod. Herod didn't want to worship the newborn king. Herod wanted to eliminate the newborn king. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about Herod. Herod is not the type of person you wanted to cross. Herod is not the type of person that you wanted to have it in for you. Herod did some
pretty cruel things and some pretty harsh things. Now, according to history, Herod was placed on the Jewish throne by Rome by a vote from the Senate. And the Senate had a little help from Mark Antony. Mark Antony wanted to make sure that Herod was the king. Now, Herod was only part Jewish. He was Idumean. He was a descendant of Esau. And you remember the contrast between Jacob and Esau. Herod was married 9 times. He also had 2 of his brothers and 1 of his wives killed because he accused them of treason. And so they were eliminated. Herod did not want to worship the baby Jesus. He wanted to eliminate him. And so in the verses that follow, you have what is known as the massacre of the infants, where there was this order to kill all male children around Bethlehem that were 2 years of age and under. In other words, cast the net wide enough to make sure that you've included everybody that needs to be included. Now, Bethlehem was a small community, and persons have tried to guess and estimate how many children this may have been. Some say it may have only been maybe just 20 children. But you know, one child murdered is one too many. And if we think that was then and doesn't apply now, let me bring you up to speed and talk about the murder of innocents. See, we live in a society where we don't know what sanctity of life means anymore. What about late stage abortion and partial birth abortion? What about the sex trafficking of children? What about the sexual abuse of children? You see, that murder of innocence doesn't just apply to Herod and to Herod's time. What about our own society? And how will we be held accountable? You see, Matthew goes on later and gives these following words from Jesus. Matthew 18:6. But whosoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to fall, who believe in me to fall, it would be better for that person if a heavy millstone were hung around their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. As I read that, I began to wonder, how long will it be before our society and our culture deems these words by Jesus to be hate speech? You see, we live in a world that needs to hear the good news. We live in a world that needs to know that there is joy in the Lamb that was slain for us. That just as those innocent children were murdered under Herod, what are we doing today? Children, their trust and their love and their innocence and their devotion to God is a model for all of us. Dare we not destroy it or lead them astray? Now, let's go back to Egypt. It's estimated that Bethlehem was about 75 miles from the Egyptian border. And perhaps Joseph and Mary and the Christ child traveled a little further for added precaution into Egypt. We know that Alexandria in Egypt was a very large city. And according to Philo, a Jewish historian and philosopher writing around 40 AD, it's estimated that about 1 million Jewish people lived in Alexandria. So Egypt was a place of asylum for many Jews in the diaspora, those that were spread throughout the world. We also know that the Greek New Testament, the Septuagint, was translated by a group of Jewish leaders in Alexandria in about 300 BC or 3rd century BC. And so these quotes that we see oftentimes in the New Testament referring to the Old Testament, it's the Septuagint, it's the Greek version of the Old Testament that's being quoted. So the tie to Egypt here is important. But there's also something else that's important. Egypt was also outside of Herod's jurisdiction. He had no jurisdiction in Egypt. Doesn't mean he couldn't come in, it's just out of his jurisdiction. Also, don't forget the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the Magi brought. We think of them very often times as being there to honor the Christ child. But there's another way to look at those gifts as well. They were valuable. They could be sold. And they could provide economic needs for a period of time. When I think about that, I think of one thing. God works in mysterious ways. Ways in which we don't even think about it. Gifts that honor could also be turned into gifts that sustain. And that's a God thing. With the death of Herod, historically we are told that the Essenes moved back into Qumran, which had been destroyed in 31 BC. So it wasn't just Joseph coming back with Mary and Jesus into the land of Israel. There were other movements of people that were moving to locations, which gives us even further evidence of the changing of locations of persons at the death of Herod. So the Messiah indeed does come out of Egypt. Comes out of Egypt, comes into the land of Israel, and settles in the region of Galilee in a city or a town known as Nazareth. So, we're the beneficiaries of this ministry which is now unleashed. This ministry of Jesus, the Christ. So as we finish this year, may we finish it strong by first being grateful for all our blessings. Because even with all the challenges of this year, we have been blessed beyond measure. We have received the most precious gift, and that is the Messiah. May we share the good news of Jesus Christ with joy and gladness. And may we practice hospitality and serve the needs of those that Christ places and God places in our midst. You see, The ministry of Jesus has been unleashed upon the world. We have been commissioned to share this good news. And we will share this good news as we end this year and begin the next year. And we will continue to do it until Jesus Christ returns, or we meet Him face to face as we pass from death into life. And so I think it's fitting that we close today remembering the words of this Advent hymn, which we referenced and you heard in the beginning of the service. Joy to the World. A hymn celebrating the second coming of Jesus. The second Advent. And notice these words. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And we receive that King by making room in our hearts. Is there room in your heart for Jesus? Is there room in your heart for God? Is there room in your and my heart for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? If so, heaven and nature will sing. Joy to the world. Why? Our Savior reigns. Jesus came, and when He's one of the first words out of His mouth that is recorded is, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is God's reign. Our Savior reigns. And He will come again. That is a sounding joy that can be repeated. No more let sins and sorrow grow. Why? Our sins have been forgiven. We are sinners, but our sins have been forgiven. Nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Are our hearts big enough to let those blessings come in and to flow in us and through us and then back out of us to others? And in the closing verse of this hymn, we're reminded, He rules the world with truth and grace. He makes the nations prove the glories, excuse me, of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. Jesus Christ is the same wind yesterday, today, and forever. So, is Christ missing from your life today? Would you like to end this year and begin the new year knowing Him as your Lord and Savior? If so, I invite you, wherever you are, wherever you're hearing this message, to pray this prayer. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I confess my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. I accept your unconditional love and your mercy, which you have extended to me personally. And I want to make you the Lord of my life. In other words, I will put you in the driver's seat. I will put you in first place. We believe that if you have made that decision, we believe that you know Jesus, that your sins are forgiven, and that you are saved. Share this good news with others. And please get involved in the ministry of a local church. And know that the doors of Berea Baptist Church are open to you and you are welcome. If you want to reaffirm your commitment to Christ, you know, sometimes we kind of get a little distant and a little distracted, and sometimes we kind of get off course. Just as we realign tires in a car, sometimes we have to realign our lives and our priorities. And if you want to realign your life with Christ, reaffirm your commitment to Christ, please do so. Do it today. And in doing so, be a part of this unveiling revival which is beginning to spread throughout our land as darkness is being turned into light through the sharing of the gospel and the fulfilling of the Great Commission. So as we end this year and prepare for the next, may we be strengthened by these statements from the 98th Psalm, which, by the way, is the background for Joy to the World. From the 98th Psalm, and then also from the letter of James. So as we leave today, may we sing a new song to the Lord. For He has performed wonders. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Be jubilant, shout for joy, and sing. And then may we consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever we experience various trials, because we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. May God continue to bless each of us richly as we end 2020 and begin 2021. Amen.
for to